Here's your money briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen at the Wall Street Journal in New York. Gas prices jumped by an average of 7 cents a gallon following the attacks on Saudi Arabian oil facilities last weekend. In a moment, we'll find out from a Journal Markets reporter why prices are rising when the U.S. is the world's leader in oil production. First, some money and market news you should know. As the Federal Reserve has lowered interest rates this year, borrowing costs for consumers, including mortgage rates, have come down as well. The average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage has come down to about 3.5%. And not only has that sparked an increase in mortgage applications for new homes, but mortgage refinancing applications have more than doubled compared to a year ago. Other costs to borrow have come down also. Bankrate.com says both the average rate on a 5-year new car loan and the average rate on a home equity line of credit have both come down in the past 2 months. And Wall Street Journal columnist Joanne Lublin examines the most coveted qualities among workers looking for a promotion. At the top of the list, be able to play nice. Recruiters and career advisors say being highly collaborative can boost your value and can help your reputation even if you lose the bump up to somebody else. Seeking out an internal mentor can be a key to moving up as well. Management experts say a mentor can be a sounding board to help an employee manage their emotions, but a promotion candidate could also inform a mentor if another candidate steals credit for their accomplishments. And in terms of CEO jobs, most corporate boards now scrutinize whether CEO prospects get along with each other and their peers. About 3/4 of the heads of S&P 500 companies who got the top job last year came from within. See the full story at WSJ.com and the WSJ app. Saudi Arabia says it expects oil production to return to normal by the end of the month following attacks on the country's oil facilities earlier this month. That doesn't mean that drivers won't feel it at the pump. Let's bring in Wall Street Journal markets reporter Amrith Ramkumar for some answers. So, Amrith, drivers got some sticker shock almost right away. Gas prices crept up by about 7 cents a gallon in the days after the attack. Was that based on speculation, or is the impact of supply disruption that immediate?
Yeah, so really, it's a bit of both. There is an immediate impact felt in oil, global oil markets, and that really carries through to the pump. And there is a lot of uncertainty now that's being priced in, if that makes sense. So the thing people often misunderstand is that even though the U.S. is producing a lot of oil, the U.S. also imports a lot of oil. That's why the Saudi Arabian production is so important, and that's why there's this risk premium now that people are talking about in the marketplace that could result in higher gas prices moving forward.
So this is like a balancing act between the U.S. and other countries it relies on.
That's exactly right. Even though the U.S. is now the world's largest oil producer and has huge capacity, the U.S. has limited export capacity. So Saudi Arabia is the world's most important producer because it has a lot of spare capacity that it can turn on in emergencies and massive amounts of export capacity, and it exports a ton. So there are really complex flows around the world here, and that's why things that are happening in these Asian markets that count on Saudi Arabian crude could impact people at the pump. Right now, Saudi Arabia is trying to calm markets by saying it's getting production back to normal, and that's why we're seeing oil prices come back down, so that could mitigate some of this. But there's a lot of uncertainty again, so it's really worth watching what happens.
What is the typical lag between a disruption in supply and when we see an impact and a change in prices at the pump? Is there a typical rule of thumb? Is it a couple of days? Is it a week?
I would say there's not necessarily an easy answer to that because it really depends on the magnitude of the shock and the reaction we see in the futures markets again. So with this one, there is almost no lag and prices went up with one of their biggest rises we've seen in recent years, like you were saying, 7 cents on the national average to a little above $2.65 a gallon. So sometimes it can take days, sometimes it can take longer than that, depending on the magnitude again. And the oil market continues changing, like we've been saying. So with the U.S. trying to export more, but a lot of bottlenecks, like there is plentiful supply here in some cases, but other parts of the country are struggling to get that. So again, it's a really complicated, interconnected system. So it's not just easy to say that the U.S. is pumping it out, so it's fine. Like, there are all these questions still moving forward.
And as supply would rise and fall and prices rise and fall, would different parts of the U.S. be affected in different ways? Would prices rise and fall to a different degree in some parts of the country?
Yes, that is usually what happens depending on how much they interact with global crude flows. So in the West Coast, for example, it could be much different than the East Coast. And obviously, like near Texas and New Mexico, those prolific regions, those gas prices tend to be much lower. So there are, and again, I want to emphasize this is a global phenomenon, and a lot of people are focusing on the impacts to Asia because that's, again, where most of the Saudi Arabian crude goes. And some countries like Japan and China and Korea, they count on specific types of crude. And again, there are all these different densities, and refineries take that crude in and they turn it into fuel. So depending on how long these disruptions last, even if the futures markets might be saying one thing, there could be some conflicting signals here.
And people in the energy sector who track prices say that prices could still rise. They're putting out numbers like 25 cents a gallon.
Yes, right now there are a whole host of projections that people are putting out. And the challenge right now is that none of us really know the full extent of the damage in Saudi Arabia and how long it'll take to get all of that resolved and how that could ripple through energy markets. And a lot of that could take some time. So it really all depends, again, on that and how the U.S. and other countries do kind of react with their stockpiles or with sanctions policies if there are these significant disruptions. We've seen the market calm down again, so maybe that could limit some of that. But again, this is like a situation that's changing every day. And President Trump has kind of threatened and said that the U.S. is locked and loaded. So we'll have to see what happens.
You know, you mentioned stockpiles. We've heard about the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, which President Trump said he would authorize the release of oil from if needed. Why can't we just rely on those supplies and lessen our reliance on overseas oil?
Yes, that's a really good question and one that people discuss a lot. The thing that people in the energy market say is that that's not a sustainable way for the world to function. So we have several days worth, in some case even longer than that, worth of oil in these stockpiles, but that's like a last-ditch scenario. So people in the oil market are, again, focused on not using that and using these other more sustainable methods to meet global oil needs. That's why we've seen the International Energy Agency come out twice since the weekend attacks and say the market is well supplied as is. They're monitoring the situation, but they don't want to go into their nearly 3 billion barrel stockpiles to really address this situation right now. And that's another reason we've seen the markets calm down a bit and prices reverse. So there is plenty of oil, but people don't want to go into those stockpiles because they really need to focus on ongoing production to meet capacity.
Have those reserves been used in the past often, and have they proven to make a difference?
No, not often at all. It's, again, a last-ditch effort. So one of the last times was in 2011 during the Libya civil war when there were massive outages there. And they can make a difference again, but it's if you're wanting to calm markets down, that's not the way to do it. That will just get people really nervous about what is actually going on probably and raise a lot more questions than they may answer because, again, that's not a sustainable way to meet production. Other OPEC countries and Russia have also said that they're not going to put out more oil. And so that's, again, another sign that Saudi Arabia doesn't want to lose market share and thinks they can get things back to normal without, again, going too crazy with other countries' stockpiles or production methods.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal markets reporter Amrith Ramkumar here in our studio. Amrith, thank you so much for the A to Z lesson in gas prices.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen in New York for The Wall Street Journal.